Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We need your help, though, because we're digital. You can share this far and wide, and we have a really interesting show for you today. It's provocative, and it builds off of what I did on our TV end with Sam Arnold, and we call him Pastor Sam. And Pastor Sam is a man who has tremendous knowledge, information, never been wrong about Latin America yet, and he made some allegations I'll get into here with regarding the governor of Texas, and I think it fits into the present crisis we're looking at. We're going to get into that with our guest, Susan Bradford, because we think we've got a lot of, pretenders in our midst. It's not just Tulsi Gabbard. We have a lot of Trojan horses. And we're going to get into that here with Susan Bradford in just a minute. But first of all, I need to let you know that we are looking at, food and water problems. And I'm going to detail about the food. You've heard me talk about it enough. We've not raised our prices. We still have sales. And most of the food companies have gone out of business, and we believe they sold out to the government. In fact, in a couple of instances, we know that's true. And we're one of the few left standing. So you're saying, well, I'll be okay. I'll weather the storm. Okay, good luck to you. Don't knock on my door. But to everybody else who says I need to do more because everyone's saying the food supply is in jeopardy, well, okay, go to preparewithdave.com. It's that simple. You can get it that way, preparewithdave.com. And you're going to need water filtration because of the roving blackouts. I don't know how long they're going to shut your power down, but this is a nationwide phenomenon. And so you're going to have good water filtration. We recommend one filter per person. The Alexa Pro water filter is on its last legs. As you know, they shut down for a while. They found some in the supply chain, and I'm the only vendor in the United States right now selling this. And there is a limited supply, and so right now is the time. I don't think there's no limit on ordering, so you can get as many as you can. If you have three people in your family, I think you need three, because volume will become a problem when you have to go out and scavenge for water. So go to waterwithdave.com. And as you know, I'm a customer of Noble Gold. Yeah, you know the rest. You can't have your money in the bank. Well, operating capital. And someday you'll lose that operating capital. So you have no more than 2 months. And then you have to diversify. And that's what I've done with Noble Gold. They're the best there is. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Well, we know about Susan's background. Let's put it this way. She knows the people in Europe. She knows some of the most powerful people in Europe. She's worked for CBS News, and she's kind of looked at things and jumped to the other side and is now exposing a lot of the things that she's able to because of her background and knowledge. Susan, do you think I characterized that fairly?
I think you have, though I believe in my heart I've always served the public interest, even if I did work, you know, for some powerful players on the global stage.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. And do you think that you're, when you were working with some of these powerful people, did they cross your lines of morality and you had to recoil?
I never really saw the immorality that has been exposed in our media. I never was exposed to the pedophilia or any of the satanic rituals. The people I knew in London embraced globalism like a religion. There were many who believed that if we could have a global government, that war would be eradicated, we could have prosperity for all. I think many of them did drink the Kool-Aid. I know that the Rothschild, I met Baron Robert Rothschild, who's one of the architects of the European Cold Steel Community, European Commission, which ultimately became the European Union. And he had told me in an interview that his family was aspiring to create a global dictatorship. His remarks raised a red flag. But most of the people I worked with were very noble in how they conducted themselves, which I know may be a surprise for many people to hear. I certainly did not see any of the corruption that is now well known.
Okay, that and of course people aren't going to walk around with that on their sleeve either and say, "Hi, I'm so and so, and this is what I stand for," and I know you'll find that repulsive. They don't do that. So I think pretty interesting that you've had those connections, because I think a lot of us on our side of the fence would love to have had those connections at some point, because of the insight would have been invaluable. I want to jump into something here that's highly controversial, and I'm going to bring you in as the expert judge on this.
Okay.
I've got a source named Sam Arnold, Pastor Sam, and he is unbelievably knowledgeable about Latin America. And everything he has given me has been outstanding. And his work has stood the test of time. He has said something, and a few years later, it's really borne out. Mm-hmm. And so I trust Sam. And Sam came to me about a month ago regarding Governor Abbott. And he said Abbott is not who he appears to be. And I says, oh, I know. I said he's one of China's best friends here in his governor's position. And he said, yes, and it's becoming operationalized with Mexico. And Sam has gone into painstaking detail how the four northern states of Mexico, the worst being Tamaulipas under Dabaca, they are in opposition to AMLO. There could be a civil war in Mexico. These are homes of the cartel. That means that China has a huge say in the opposition that's forming against Mexico City, because AMLO is trying to separate from China as much as possible. And he's resisting their takeover attempts for oil and silver and so forth. So Susan, what we're looking at here is he showed me a document that gives some credence, not full admission, but some credence to the notion that Texas will secede on fake issues from the government, where it looks like Biden's forcing Texas out, and then they will align with the four northern states. But it's really just a plot to destabilize America through secession, and that DeSantis will play a similar role, as will Youngkin in Virginia, and there's probably others. I've been told Ducey in Arizona and Grisham in New Mexico. And then, of course, you always have the CalExit movement in California, where California has already tried to get out of the union unsuccessfully, and they could join in with this too. So there's Sam just was concerned about the four states and Texas. I have looked at things you and I have discussed, and I said, I think this goes bigger. I think it's California, it's Florida, and it's Virginia at minimum. You want to take this ball and run with it?
Sure. I think you are correct. One of the Rothschild goals is to destabilize the United States and also to break it up. But I think your characterization of what might happen, I think, is consistent with that. Now, California was originally established by the Vatican through its merchants, you know, who are sponsored by the Spanish and European Catholic monarchs. So they established their ports in California and were able to shore up their commercial and political influence there before California entered the Union. Arizona is a key Rothschild state, and I think, as you know, we've discussed before, the Vatican is ultimately controlled by the Rothschilds, who also control the City of London, who in turn control the United States and are trying to drive this New World Order into reality. Arizona, I believe, is about it's a key Rothschild controlled state. I believe 3/4 of the territory, and correct me if I'm wrong, falls under the jurisdiction of federally recognized Indian tribes. And these were established for the sole purpose of shoring up mineral and oil rights for the Rothschilds, for the Vatican. The effort was driven by the Rockefellers. So, of course, you know, given that they were pushing land acquisition, like they were trying to acquire mineral, like water rights, mineral rights, acquire land resources through the tribes under the pretext of helping Indians. The Keating's Five scandal, which was based upon, it was originated in Indian country, was based upon extending loans to those who could not afford to pay them, and then bailing out the banks when the loans inevitably went bad. Charles Keating was very close to Mother Teresa, you know, who worked, you know, with the Vatican on a performing charity of dubious merit, but she was working with the Vatican. Arizona has given rise to the Udall dynasty, to McCain. The Udalls were involved with shoring up wealth for the Indian tribes, which in turn helped capitalize the casinos, which have capitalized big business, and these were the this provided the funding for the mergers and acquisitions departments of Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, BlackRock, eventually, you know, Vanguard, like where they're plundering our assets. Arizona was also the home of Barry Goldwater, a principled conservative who wasn't so principled after all, because he prevented any investigation to the missing gold, you know, after Kissinger arranged for our gold to be transferred out of Fort Knox as part of this, you know, new growing interdependence. So Arizona is a very important state in the wider Rothschild vision for the United States. It is on the home of InQtel, which I believe is the private equity arm of the CIA. The CIA is one of one of a group of intelligence networks, including the Mossad, KGB, you know, former KGB, among others, which ultimately acquire intelligence that serves the Vatican and the Rothschilds. So InQtel is their private equity arm. There is a very strong technocratic agenda that has originated in some of these different universities within Arizona, some of which have a Rothschild on the board. They are working with Texas, and I believe that Elon Musk was recruited to Texas by Ted Cruz and a few others who are, you know, Zionists, and ultimately you know, work on behalf to advance the Rothschild agenda. So you have, you know, the Arizona and Texas connection. Texas, of course, is the home of the Bush family, you know, the Bush oil dynasty, with Bush being one of the architects of the New World Order and of this China agenda of, you know, of elevating communist China to preside over a tyrannical New World Order while reducing the United States to a bankrupt welfare state. So you've got the Bush oil dynasty within Arizona, but Texas. And in turn, there's also a Texas-Florida link. The Florida link is that Jupiter Island, which is within 5 miles of Mar-a-Lago, was the headquarters and the foundation of the national security state that was established by Avril Harriman, who laundered money for the Nazis during World War II. He funded the Skull and Bone Society, which was instrumental in creating communist China with Yale University. And it was through Jupiter Island, which that Avril Harriman recruited the Bush family members, began to kind of nurse this eugenics movement in concert with Yale University, which was to be at the like a linchpin for this New World Order. Like, they wanted population control and eliminating what they call the useless eaters, in order to, you know, to establish a you know, a New World Order with themselves as, you know, presiding over this. So the technocratic agenda, which involves tracking and tracing each individual to limit our energy consumption, to limit our activity, was created out of it was launched at the end of World War II as silent weapons for quiet wars. It's being created and driven out of the city of London through a group called Kinetech, Q-I-N-E-T-Q, with, you know, which means that which the Queen holds the golden share. So this is an agenda that is, like, where they're pushing this technocratic agenda. They work very closely with Carlyle Group, and we know that Youngkin, that are now, you know, the governor of Virginia, is, yep, you know, is with the Carlyle. So you've got these different states kind of working together. They appear to be, you know, serving the conservative, the patriot movement, the freedom movement, but they're actually advancing this Rothschild tyranny.
Wow. So they are Trojan horses.
They are Trojan horses, correct.
You know, I don't know how she figures into this. I have an idea. But I have done 8 exposés in the last 7 or 8 months on Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi Gabbard, she's a Hindu, which I don't have a problem with Hindus. I'm just saying she's not who she appears to be. She's pro-abortionist extreme, pro-gun confiscation extreme, and all of a sudden now she's going on Fox News pretending to be a conservative in defense of the First Amendment. I look at this as one of two possibilities for her to ascend to power or to influence who becomes winners in future elections. Let me give you an example. I think she might be leading a third-party breakaway from the Democrats, but also draw Republicans because of her fake conservatism, and not to win an election, but to pull enough votes away from Republicans that the Democrats retain power. That's my number one theory. My number two theory about her is that Joe goes away pretty soon in the 25th Amendment. Kamala Harris appoints her. Kamala Harris is deeply compromised in the Jussie Smollett deal. And she is forced to resign, even though they may not make it a public scandal. And Tulsi becomes the president to carry out the agenda. I mean, those are two scenarios I've come up with. And it's very reminiscent in my mind as she becomes a third-party candidate of what happened with Taft and Teddy Roosevelt and how Woodrow Wilson was able to ascend to power. And he never could have had the Republicans not split their own vote.
That's very true. In a similar vein, Gerald Ford was able to become president without ever having been elected to that office. Through Watergate. But do you think that Tulsi Gabbard has sufficient national prominence to be selected for such a position?
I think she can rally the Democratic Party because she's everything right now in appearance that Joe Biden is not.
True. That's true.
And I think that could be it. And Fox News is giving her a platform. And that she spoke at CPAC, which I find unbelievable, but I understand the head of CPAC might have taken a bribe. That's the allegation to allow her to speak. $183,000 is what I've been told.
Do you know who gave her that money?
No. Person said, if I tell you, I won't be alive tomorrow.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, that's nothing. I'm not going to take these facts to the bank with regard to paying off CPAC, but how the hell does someone like Tulsi Gabbard speak at CPAC? Can you imagine if she got up and said, yeah, I'm for abortion under the most extreme conditions, and I want to take your guns? Because these are all positions that she's taken in the past, and she trained in Klaus Schwab's global leadership program. She has belonged to various socialist organizations. This is all stuff I've exposed in the past. So I don't believe they just flipped a switch and somehow she became a magical conservative.
She's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yep.
I know that CPAC was funded during the Trump administration in part by Google. Google is also now funding the Heritage Foundation, which used to be staunchly conservative. They've taken, I guess, more liberal positions in recent years. And Google is the parent company of YouTube, which has deplatformed a lot of conservatives. So that they are moving more towards the left to be more in line with this, you know, globalist, you know, liberal agenda.
Are we looking at a second tier of people to prevent any rise in populism, and they're managing the rise in populism through fake Trojan horse candidates?
That's a good question. I know that I think Justin Trudeau has banned the sale of weapons, and I'm wondering whether they might try to do the same here, given that there were at least 12 mass shootings over the Memorial Day weekend. I don't know that they are afraid of the people, because they are engineering food shortages and gas shortages and making homeownership prohibitively expensive. I mean, they're crushing the middle class. They're crushing small businesses. I think that in a helpless state, the American people will not be able to fight back effectively. So I don't know but I'm sure that there are Trojan horses who maybe who are trying to appease the people, or who are inspiring the American people to look to them for leadership, since they feel that they don't have the power within themselves to fight back.
Interesting.
But that's a thought.
I'm so disheartened because there is no one fighting for the American people. Not in.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I want the audience to understand where I'm coming from. This is very discouraging because we have no one we can throw our weight behind. Nobody. They're all controlled. And I'm not surprised. Listen, I'm not surprised. I'm just saddened at the totality of control.
I am saddened too. However, I think this should be a learning moment for the American people, that they must look to themselves to empower themselves through God to take back their country. If I understood correctly, I think I read an article by Anna von Reitz. I don't have the date in front of me, but she had written that Jacob Rothschild, the patriarch of the Rothschild family, purchased the debt of the United States. So essentially the Rothschilds control the rogue organization that is the federal government. So I think if the American people can, you know, reclaim their constitutional rights and protections, and begin to kind of mobilize, we should be able to remove this rogue organization from our soil, because they don't control, you know, the republic. They control the corporation that which contracts directly with the Vatican, and which in turn is imposing this tyrannical agenda upon us.
Yeah, but such a movement would require a basis in leadership.
True, and we don't have that.
We have nothing. We have nothing. You know, do you agree with this statement that if the Republicans really wanted to, particularly in the Senate, they could have blocked and certainly greatly slowed down the Democratic agenda?
I don't, because the federal government now is a corporation. So our elected officials are not so much elected as they are employees within that corporation. So they serve the global agenda and not we the people. Their viability as political candidates depends upon their ability to advance that agenda. And if they're unsuccessful, they will be removed.
Okay. So I'm recovering here from my disappointment. You mentioned in our pre-air discussion about Inctel. Mm-hmm. I know something about that here in Arizona, but do you want to talk to the people about why Inctel is important in our discussion?
Sure. At the end of World War II, an agenda was launched. It was called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. This is the overarching technocratic agenda, which aspires to identify, track, trace, and control each human being on Earth, and to like limit their movements, limit their energy expenditure, essentially to maximize the profits for the elite, maximize the output, the labor for those people, and to keep them at a level of existence in which they can maximize their output while minimize their own personal profits and their own personal empowerment. So the people are to be relegated to like a servant class. The agenda was discovered on an IBM printer. IBM has been, you know, very key to advancing this agenda. The agenda has been pushed, in concert with the federal government. You know, we funded a lot of it, you know, through the military. We've applied the R&D into the wider markets. I think that, you know, they are moving towards kind of advancing this agenda. And Inctel is the private equity arm of that. So it likely receives a lot of federal funding to advance the technocracy, and it's being done on behalf of, you know, the Rothschild family. You know, again, you have a Q in that name. The Q may, in this case, I know in many others it does. The Q refers to the Queen's Golden Share, meaning the British monarchy would have a controlling role within that company, with the monarchy ultimately being controlled by the Rothschilds and the Vatican. So it's the private equity arm of the CIA and of this wider technocratic agenda.
Wow. Here's what I know about it. The leader of Arizona State University, the president, is Michael Crow. Does that name mean anything to you?
Was he involved with Facebook or Leadership Technologies?
CIA.
CIA, okay.
And yes, there was some media linkages, but he was deeply enmeshed in Incutel.
Does not surprise me.
No. And this is how complete our takeover is here in Arizona, and this is true across the country. So, folks, what I'm telling you here about Arizona applies to your state in one form or another. Our governor has definitive ties to Arizona. They made his business what it is, Stone Cold Creamery. In a 2017 address to the National Governors Association, very public meeting, he said to the Chinese, and I'll paraphrase, "We love doing business with China in Arizona. They need our rare earth minerals for their military." I couldn't think of a worse thing to say if you were a loyal American. And he has kowtowed to China every step of the way. He's done nothing about the border that's meaningful, which China is partly behind the destabilization. And that's not just him. Then you have Jack Sellers, who at the time of the election, and this is stuff I uncovered as a result of my election fraud investigation, he was on a group, one of the leaders of a group that brought Chinese sister cities to the metropolitan area in Phoenix, to the suburbs and so forth. Every university, all the utilities have strong Chinese connections. I could go on and on. But you get where I'm going with this. We have been taken over, hopelessly taken over. These people are outnumbered by us, but they control all the centers of power. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think that this agenda was launched at the end of the Clinton administration, and when they brought China into the World Trade Organization, and then they had corporate America then began to try to, you know, to shore up its markets within China, and in turn they created partnerships with the United States. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that China also controls a number of our ports.
Long Beach, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, this is all coming together. Let's go back to the Carlyle Group for a second to bring in Youngkin. Is someone who may cause his state to leave in a secessionist movement to help weaken America. How does Youngkin and Carlyle factor into all this?
The Carlyle Group, would you like some historical context of how they came into being, or just how, I know Carlyle has been blocking efforts at reform. They were created out of tax loopholes that were established for the Alaskan Eskimos to allow the natives there some level of economic parity. So after vast pools of oil were discovered in Proudhon Bay, Kissinger put the kibosh on development of that oil, which would have rendered us energy independent for hundreds of years. And of course, if you're energy independent, you don't have to rely upon, you know, foreign interests for your oil, and you would not be you would not be inclined to enter into like a new world order state of dependency, you know, to acquire, you know, your resources from other countries.
Right.
So once he put the kibosh on the development of our oil, he worked with the oil companies to develop oil in Saudi Arabia. He then facilitated arrangements for the Saudis to purchase our gold, you know, which was stolen out of Fort Knox. In turn, we were taken off the gold standard, in turn launching, you know, the fiat currency. So the Carlyle Group was established in the middle of this. It was that they had the founders began to take advantage of incentives that were offered to the Eskimos. They sold tax liabilities from those tribes through their Alaska Native corporations on the market, generating millions of dollars. They then were able to turn government contracting and cronyism, like political cronyism, into a cottage industry, generating billions of dollars at the taxpayers' expense. So the Carlyle Group, the foundations were laid by the Office of Economic Opportunity within the Nixon administration. This was a group that helped establish entitlements within Indian country during the administration of Lyndon Baines Johnson. During the Nixon administration, the OEO was headed by Donald Rumsfeld and his assistant Dick Cheney, to lay the foundations for government contracting within Indian country. The Carlyle Group was among to take advantage of those opportunities. In turn, you had a revolving door of neoconservatives connected to the Bushes, Rumsfeld, James Baker, who traded access for political power and profits. So they were able to generate government contracts, particularly military contracts, that were sole source, meaning they were non-compete, for unlimited monetary amounts, given that the Indians were characterized by the Small Business Administration as being underprivileged, and they were able to use the Eskimos and Native American Indian tribes as front groups for government contractors, military contractors, generating untold fortunes for themselves. So the Carlyle Group was among the first private equity firms to kind of exploit access for profits. Many others have followed. And given their close affiliation with the Bush clan, among other political elites, they are driving the agenda for China, you know, that was launched at the end of World War II. That is to elevate communist China to leader of the New World Order while reducing the United States to a bankrupt welfare state. So they were a key driver. They are a key driver in that agenda. They're also working to block any meaningful efforts at reform. So the fact that Glenn Youngkin, who I guess held a very prominent leadership position within the Carlyle Group, was elected governor of Virginia, or is currently serving as governor of Virginia, I think you know that you have the kind of the globalist agenda working within that state now, under the pretext of advancing freedom and patriotism, when they're actually doing the opposite.
Now, I'm not surprised at this. I'm really not. What do you see that?
Have I lost you?
No, you haven't. I'm taking all this in. This is incredible. You're filling in so many gaps. It's unbelievable. And I'm hopeful that everyone in the audience is able to keep up on what we're doing here and what we're saying. The takeover is so complete. Let me just tell you what I've been told a couple of times. I don't want to identify the agencies because I'm protecting identities, and this would be a needless disclosure. But I've had two people tell me, one was in intelligence and the other was in just a federal agency, non-intelligence. And they both were told the same thing by supervisors in a meeting. Basically, the infiltration of every government agency is complete. Get on board with what's going on or get out. Do you know anything about this? It seems to be a universal message that's going on to federal employees at a significant level.
Now, if you understand that the federal government exists currently, as it exists currently, is color of law, so it's a fraudulent construct. It is pretending to be a republic and an actual government when it is in fact a private corporation. So all of the federal government and its agencies are all corporations that contract through the Vatican. So the Vatican, which is run by the Rothschilds, is setting the marching orders for what the government must do. I think this is why the federal employees cannot and will not do anything that is contrary, you know, to this agenda, to the wider agenda.
Is there any recourse for the people?
I would like to believe that the people can reclaim their constitutional rights and kind of opt out of the system by acquiring. I think becoming a state national. I think you'd want to perhaps research Anna von Reitz and some of the work that she has done. I have also documented a lot of the fraud that these people have perpetrated, and I'd like to believe that if we have any honest attorneys, judges, prosecutors, investigators, forensics accountants, that they could look at the material that I have published with regards to the fraud within Indian country, within Florida, within behind the scenes of the Abramoff investigation, that we can expose what these people have done and prosecute them, because there really are just a few people controlling this entire agenda, and if you're able to kind of expose it and potentially block it or even prosecute some of the wrongdoers, I think you would be able to derail the agenda.
How do you get to that point, though? The courts aren't totally compromised, but they're largely compromised.
According to Anna von Reitz, and this is, you know, her message and not mine, as of 2013, the attorneys and judges no longer have to answer to the crown or the temple bar. That they can adjudicate and pursue law in accordance with the Constitution and in service of the American people. So I think we may have to look towards our attorneys to, you know, take some, you know, meaningful action on our behalf.
And would that involve citizen grand juries?
I don't know that you would necessarily have to have a common law court, but I would not be opposed to grand juries. I think the information should be brought forth in a public forum and before the people. I think the people should be able to weigh in on you know, decisions.
Okay, I'm processing this out here. One of the things I've been advocating to my audience, and this is related, not the same thing, but it is related. I've been saying there's probably not a dozen people that we can trust that are in the House and the Senate that are Republicans. They're rhinos to various degrees. And we need to focus on unelecting almost all Republicans in the primary process with newcomers. Not that it necessarily will guarantee a better result, but it's kind of like shooting a flare in the sky, hoping you get noticed. What do you think about that idea? And by the way, I'm critical of it myself.
It's an interesting idea. I would wonder whether they could get elected in today's political system. I think they would have to have the support of lobbyists and other fundraisers, given that the elites control the media. I think they would be facing an uphill battle, but I would like to see more genuine patriots, you know, working within the federal government, because I think they could throw a wrench in the works, or maybe bring truth to the American people and begin to expose the lies. I don't know how influential they would be, but I think they would serve the purpose of maybe preventing the agenda from going forward and maybe helping to raise awareness among the American people.
What does Susan recommend we do? Or are we past the point of no return?
That's a very good question. I come from a family of lawyers, so my inclination would be to do things lawfully. And as I've said, we are existing under color of law governments. I think we need to expose the fraud, act on that knowledge, and take our power back. I believe that we have a greater chance to influence decision making at the local level. So I would encourage the wider American public, the people at home, to get involved with their local governments, to voice their concerns, to follow where the money is going, how it is being spent, what actions are being taken on their behalf, and to ensure some level of accountability, you know, that they are doing the people's work and that they're not succumbing to political influence, potentially bribes and other forms of coercion and incentives from the shadow elite.
Yeah, that's the key right there. That's the key. That's the key right there. You just put your finger on it, and I don't know. See, to me, a really good talk show host here in Phoenix that was number one in the market, and he asked for proof of weapons of mass destruction and got taken off the air. And this was during the Iraq War, and he was number one. He had propelled his station from like number five to number one in the market, and they got rid of it. They just said, "You're done." And I just think the control is so complete that maybe what he advised, this talk show host named Charles Goyette, he advised adaptation is the order of the day. We can no longer beat them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
That's a very painful pill to swallow. I don't want to believe that we have no power. You know, that our future is hopeless. We have no options. I think there are ways to push back, and I think we need to find out what their vulnerabilities are, and then apply pressure to those pressure points.
What would you recommend if you were advising the movement? How would you do that? How would you bring pressure? Because right now people like myself get greatly censored or shadow banned at minimum. We're canceled at maximum. How do we do that?
I think we still have freedom of speech. I mean, you have a platform, and I think we are going to have to network with each other and pull together as a people, perhaps informally. And I think the fact that we don't have a prominent national leader might be a good thing, because once movements acquire such leadership, they tend to be infiltrated. So I think we need to empower ourselves with knowledge. And then once we have clarity on exactly how this takeover is happening, we can then forge practical solutions and push back. I think a lot of the coercion that is being imposed upon us, I think it's being, again, it's being done through fraud, through color of law governments, who really don't have any such authority, and they're applying a lot of psychological pressure on us, you know, to get us to capitulate. So I think we need to remain strong within our power, take those steps that we need to protect ourselves, to provide for ourselves and each other, make sure that we're not caught up in the divide and conquer rhetoric, you know, where they continue to try to pit us against each other. I do believe that there is some hope through the courts, because of the fraud that they have committed against us is so massive, and it's all been documented. If we can bring the fraud to light, we can reveal that they are illegitimate. And if they're illegitimate, they have no power or authority to do what they're doing. And ultimately, they are relying upon our compliance. You can't really comply with a government that doesn't have the right to do what it's doing or requesting of us.
Interesting. I do agree with what you're saying, and I think legally you're correct, but we're not following any legalities. Let me just give you one small example. Biden's trying to sign us on to this pandemic treaty with WHO. It's illegal. Mm-hmm. Number one, he did not get the two-thirds vote of the Senate for the approval of a treaty that's required by the Constitution. So when he got questioned on that, he said, well, it's an amendment to an earlier treaty. Well, that still means you have to again reevaluate and vote again on that treaty because you've changed it fundamentally. And they're just ignoring the law. And he thinks he can dictate the suspension of oil leases with absolutely no oversight, just his say-so by abusing executive orders to take the place of Congress. I could go on and on. You get where I'm going. He's assumed dictatorial powers in violation of the Constitution. How do you overcome something like that?
Well, I think my understanding is that in 1999, there was a bankruptcy reorganization in which the Vatican seized control. So from that point onward, we no longer had a working constitution or a federal government that answered to us. It was ultimately controlled by the Vatican. The Rothschilds have purchased our debt. They are now contracting through the Vatican and then charging us for the services that they're providing for us. The Federal Reserve was merged with the Department of Treasury, which ensures that any decisions that are made with regards to finances to our economy can be politically influenced. And ultimately, the Treasury Department contracts with the IMF, which ultimately answers to the United Nations. So you have the United Nations dictating, dictating our policy, and of course they're going to impose. You know, they are working towards imposing Agenda 2030, and you know this new world order tyranny. So I think we have to kind of explore how the government was taken from us, and then to see was that legitimate? Were the actions that they took legal? No, they weren't. And then to figure out how we can then reclaim that power. And I think that our power really lies in education. We have to kind of learn more of precisely how they did this, and then also to educate the American people. And I think we have the numbers on our side. And again, you know, they are operating under color of law, but they do have the ability to act as dictators because the federal government is a corporation with Biden serving as the CEO of that corporation. So he has the right to impose his agenda. And I think, as you may know, they have established their corporate law within the United States such that every person, unless they've corrected their status, is in fact a corporation which is bound by corporate law that is dictated by the federal government. And corporations don't have any constitutional protections. So I think we need to kind of correct our status, you know, and to ensure that we are people of the land and not corporations. And I think there are tools and resources online that will help people do that.
Yeah, but I think you have to have an organization of effort. And to do that, you'd have to have a national figure or figures leading the way. Where would they come from in your mind?
I believe that Anna von Reitz is one, and I believe that she has set up national assemblies throughout the country. Now, I'm not involved with any of these national assemblies, but my understanding is that she does have a national movement, like national infrastructure. And I believe that according to some of the articles that she has written, some of those assemblies have negotiated with the Vatican in such a way that they have pushed back against the mandatory vaccinations. So they are taking power back for the people. And I think maybe we need to put our emphasis or put our energies into supporting these state assemblies.
Okay. What about inside the government? Is there anybody we could point to that says, we think they're sincere?
I think the government as an institution has been set up in such a way that even if an individual were sincere within that body, I don't think they could do much to change course. Again, well, they're employees for a corporation.
I agree with you within the system. I totally agree with what you're saying. They'd be swimming uphill. But
correct.
What about someone who would have a name that could be... See, Anna Von Wright's... I know who she is. I'm somewhat familiar with her work. But the average American is not. And so there has to be a unifying figure, a symbolic figure. Not all-powerful, but someone who most people would identify with. Is there such a person out there? And I think that person would have to come from within the political structure to have name recognition.
I'd like to offer this. What do you think about having a radio or television host, I think, may serve as that figure? Because I think for decades now, a number of conservative and freedom-loving commentators and broadcasters have been raising the alarm and have offered solutions. I think they also have the name recognition. I mean, you're certainly one of those people.
No.
I don't know if you're nationally, but you and there are others.
It's not that. Yeah. Okay, listen, my podcast has done really well. I'm not going to brag about ratings, but it's done really well. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. I am not the guy. I'm the guy that can bring people like you in and explore meaningful solutions to problems after we identify them. But I'm not the guy to lead us out of the wilderness. I'm not that guy. You know, you have to know your strengths and weaknesses. And I'm a good rabble-rouser. I don't think I'd be a good political leader. And I don't think my leadership skills and coaching would carry over here. So I'd have to say no. But I would support someone who would fit that bill. But there needs to be a counter-movement. Well, let me ask you this, because we're almost out of time and we're just getting started. To me, any type of resistance against this communist takeover of our government is spearheaded in the name of Biden. Notice my choice of words, in the name of Biden. Any type of resistance would have to come within the military. Civilian resistance, other than withdrawing from the system as much as you can, is absolutely meaningless.
Well, you know, America was built by individualists. You know, there was the freedom and power of the individual, and I think our power again is through God. Not to sound trite or to make, you know, to
well, you have a captive audience when you say that. I agree with you.
And I think rather than look towards a leader, I think we should look to ourselves and maybe even look to God and to allow Him, our the Almighty, our Creator, to kind of guide and inspire our decisions on an individual piecemeal basis. I think there may not be an overarching plan. I think if such a leader were to emerge, he or she might likely be assassinated. I think the movement would be infiltrated. So perhaps we need to look at what we can do individually and to network with with people and family members and others within our communities.
Wow.
It's just a thought.
No, listen, I hear what you're saying and I agree about the assassination situation. I really do. Wow. Amazing. I want to take a minute here because we're going to follow up on another topic because you've written a really good book, and we're going to have you back, and I'll contact you after we're off air. I want to explore the topics that are in your book, and I think there's some confluence here in direction with what we're talking about today. But I definitely want to have you back soon. But I want to give people a place to go right now where they can follow what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Dave. My website is www.susanbradford.org. So that's my presence on the internet with a few links to books
okay.
and other materials.
And what will they find when they're there at susanbradford.org?
that they will find links to my books. I've taken down a number of my articles, so those are gone, but they'll also find my contact information and also some biographical information if they're interested. And there is a way for them to contact me if they would like.
Okay. I think that's really good. That's so good that people can drop you a note here, because we have explored some very disturbing topics today. The when I got the message that we'd been infiltrated across every agency, and if you don't like it, get out, employees, I was really disturbed. And now after doing this show with you, I completely understand the mentality behind this and how accurate that statement probably is. I'm not giving up. I know you're not. And I want to thank you for coming on, and I'll be in touch with you in just a little while.
Okay, thank you so much, Dave. I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Take care.